we have, yeah, word from the Lord. How many of you in church one more time? So I said, we did not have to make it in. No, I have to worry. I took some precautions. If I cough too much, I got sanitized. All right, we're going to start. Well, I got some air. So let us start. We're going to stand for our scripture reading. And as Mr. Snyder said, please keep us in prayer. And we will be traveling from Columbus, Ohio tomorrow.
But the tribe on the east, which is the tribe of Judah, represented the largest.
and they was spread out in the valley. So when Balaam was looking, he saw them in the shape of a cross. God has never changed his plan. The cross, the crucifixion, was from the beginning. So Judah was the largest tribe, so they represented, when you look at them, they was to be the furthest out. And then, I forget who was the northern tribe, east, who was the west tribe, they were the smaller one, so they would form the short end of the cross. And then the north and the south, they were almost even in population, so they formed the cross section. So when Balaam was looking at Israel, all he could see was a cross.
Yes.
So it's so important to understand that when we look, when we go through the layout of the tabernacle, it represented something that just wasn't that simple. Amen?
Amen.
So Hebrews 8:1 reads, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the," he said, he's talking about, he spoke about the high priest and who Jesus was, and how he was after the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7. And then he says, "We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven." And he said, whenever you see the right hand, that's the mark of his what?
Power
and he's not literally, but that's how the Jews, the Hebrews, whenever they saw the right hand, they knew it was the power and the authority. He says, "For every," well, verse 2, "a minister of the sanctuary and of the right, the true tabernacle with the
Lord of nations."
And who?
Amen.
So the true tabernacle, who pitched it?
The Lord.
Lord pitched it. Man didn't pitch. Moses and the 12 tribes had a tabernacle. But the true tabernacle, who pitched that?
Lord.
God. And if you read about it, he was not in the you that Jesus was the true tabernacle. Alright, so verse 4 said, "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." Now this is very important. Jesus and Moses wrote about who?
Me.
Me. Yes. Isn't that what we just read in John? Jesus and Moses wrote about me. Alright, so now he's getting his instructions from God when he's in the mount. Remember, he went in the mount with God 40 days before that. How many times? Twice. He was up in the mount 40 days before night, receiving instructions from God. The 40 days and 40 nights is when God gave him the revelation of how creation began, was in the mount. So he says, "Who served unto the example and shadow?" So there is a picture of something to come. It's not the literal, but it served as the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. "See," said he, "God tells me that thou may some of the things." God is a God of details. He said, "Moses, when you begin to lay out the tabernacle," because it's a shadow or type of something to come. He says, "He that make all things according to the pattern which he showed thee in the matter." So Moses is writing about Jesus, but he's writing about Jesus in shadows and types. Right. It's not evident. So we have to find out, well, how is Jesus in the shadows and in the types? Amen? Now, we go to page 9 of our notes. Let's start there. We went over already that when they set up the gate, when the Lord, just for a short story, when the Lord cast Adam and Eve out of, he drove them out of the garden, he set up flaming cherubims at the what? East side. He said, you know, he had to follow the shadows and types from the beginning to the end. So when he cast them out, he sets up flaming cherubim on the east side. Now, when they begin to set up the tabernacle, the gate, the only way into the Holy of Holies came through the east side. Right? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
They're coming through the east side because that's where they set up. But it was symbolic. The flaming cherubim was an intimation or a hint or a suggestion that in order to get back to the tree of life, something had to tree of life. So when he sets up the tabernacle, he sets up the gate. There's only one way in. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way. Right? Then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father. Shadows and type. So the tabernacle, he said, make sure, Moses, that you make the tabernacle according to the pattern that will show thee in the mouth. And then Jesus said, Moses wrote about me.
Yes.
Right? So now, the gate was different than all the rest of the tent of the tabernacle. It was in purple and fine linen and different colors. So that when they looked at the tabernacle, they knew where the gate. They couldn't get it any other way. All the rest of the tabernacle was in white linen. But the gate stood out. And you know, just as a side note, a sidebar, they said that Joseph was a type of Christ. Because Joseph was 17 years old when he got the dream, and when he stood before Pharaoh, he was all 30. Every high priest has a ministry at 30. How old is Jesus when he began his ministry? 30. He ministered 3.5 years. But what was symbolic was that Jacob made Joseph a hold of the gate, the door. It was how many colors. And if you read the Jewish history, they all had tunics and coats. But the difference between Joseph's coat represented royalty of kingship. Because his tunic, the sleeve went all the way down to the wrist, which was symbolic of royalty on a priest. All the rest of the tunics stopped at the elbow because it was symbolic of the work. So Joseph was a type of Christ with the tunic of many colors. So when they came to the east gate, that was the only way to get into the tabernacle, was through the east gate, okay? Then after they passed the tabernacle, after they passed the gate, they came to the altar of sacrifice. Right? Now remember, Jesus is the what? The way. He said, I'm the door. No man can get to the Father unless they come. But where's the Father? He's in the Holy Ghost. He's in the back of the tabernacle. So he said, the only way you're going to get to the Father is you got to come by me. That's why, we'll get to it later, that's why when Jesus on the day, when he said it is finished, the Bible said that the veil that separated the holies of holies was rent from what? The top to the bottom. When that veil rent from the top to the bottom, those Jews looked at it and said, they didn't see that. Those who looked at them, they said, hey, that has to be God, because the veil was rent from the only God could do that. Man could not do that.
They say it was 6 inches thick.
Was it?
I pointed there.
Yeah. Well, when it happened, and there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes through there too, but the veil represents a whole lot. Okay, so then let's go to page 9 of our notes. Now the layout of the tabernacle pointing to Jesus and salvation. The whole layout goes in the cross. That's why the rabbis and the Jews, well really it wasn't the rabbis, it was rabbis didn't come until after Judah was taken into Babylon. Prior to them going to Babylon, there was no rabbis. All right, they're just high priests and priests. Then that we definitely get to Kabbalah and all that mysticism in religion was when they were in Babylon, because then they began to mix the true religion with idolatry. But we're not here for that. All right. So now let's go to page 9. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Everything is going to point to Jesus, and the only way that we can get to God is we got to go through Jesus. Jesus said. He said, no man can get to the Father unless they come by me. All right, so page 9. It said, after passing by the sacrificial altar, you'll find the brazen altar. The brazen altar was a large basin of water that was halfway between the sacrificial altar and the holy place. It was entirely made of bronze, and the priests were to wash their hands and feet in it before entering into the
holy
Then after the death, they come to the washing of the water. The hands and their feet. Amen. Everything is about shadows, types. But Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. Amen. This basin served as a reminder that the people needed cleansing before approaching our holy God. If a priest would enter the holy place unclean, they would. Listen, this is how serious this was. Right? If you read about, I forget the two, Abby, the two sons of Aaron, right? When they went in and they offered unclean things, and the Bible said they died, and then they were able to persuade 250 of the noble princes of Israel to follow them. And he said, God was so angry because they put strange fire on the altar that the earth opened up and swallowed them all. This is how serious God was about the sacrifice and the way that we have to present ourselves to Him. That's why Paul wrote, we have to present ourselves as a we can't die, we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Amen. And do we have any questions? I don't want to go too fast. I gotta go fast enough, I like breath. Alright, so slow me down if I go too fast. The priest had to wash his hands and feet. Now let's go to Ephesians 5. 25 and 27. Remember, the holy out of town there is shadow and type that foreshadows something to come. The layout of the tabernacle is shadow and type. I'm not confusing y'all that much this week. But, alright. So, I don't want to go too fast. It's shadows and types. But the key to it, Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. It was an indication. It was pointing to something to come. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the by the word. So, in order to get into the church, you got to be in the washing of the water by the word. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And really, that's a mistranslation. It means you shall be, you must be born from above, is what it really should say. But born again is proper, just that's what everyone says. He said, but to be born again, you have to be born of the
water.
You got to go to the water. Of the water and of the spirit. Amen. Verse 27 said, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Right? And if you remember, even when the Lord was about to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, they had to take the lamb. But they couldn't sacrifice the lamb right away. They had to keep the lamb for 7 days before they actually killed it and marked the doorposts. Doorposts. Doorposts is down south. Doorposts. Every once in a while, it slips out. Okay, the door is the door. All right. But they had to mark it. But the reason they had to keep it for 7 days is because they had to make sure this lamb did not have spot or blemish. It's a shadow. They pointed to Jesus Christ. That's why when John saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But notice that even when they had to mark the posts, they had to mark the two posts. On side and the lintel, right? In the shape of a shadows and types. It was from the beginning. Every time God delivered them, it was a shadow and a type. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 10:22 read, let us draw near with a
true heart.
You can't approach God in the false heart because God knows the truth. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of great faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our with what? Pure water. Amen. Shadows and types. This basin, this was a shadow of the water baptism in the name of Jesus that will come in the new covenant. Now, we went over this, I'm just gonna highlight this. Hebrews 9:22 says, if you can pull it up, they can read with me. It says, almost all things are purged by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no why he was only there at Pentecost. Peter said that all of us be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Right? So your sins have to be remitted. Well, the problem with the Trinity baptism is when the Father died, has the Father ever died? Because the Father is a spirit. So if you baptize in the name of the Father, guess what? I'm just saying what the scripture says. Let the Bible speak. And we have a whole lot of traditions, and Jesus said your traditions have made of none effect the word of God. Read about that in your own book in Mark 7 chapter. Alright? Tradition. So the Father never died, so no blood is applied in the baptism for me. As the Holy Ghost, can the Holy Ghost die? Because it is a spirit. Didn't Jesus say in John 4:24, God is a spirit? A spirit does not die. So it's elementary, my dear Rossi. Elementary. The only name that can have the blood applied is the name of Jesus. Because he's the only one that ever died. So everything points to Jesus' name, baptism. Alright? That would be the new covenant. Once we repented to God for our sins and believe that Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, is who? Not the Son of God, but he is God. Then Jesus said in John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. And remember, John asked Jesus in John 14, he said, show us the Father, and he will suffice us. Jesus makes it plain and simple. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. So Jesus has to be the Father. That's what he said. He said, I and my Father are one. So a lot of the religion said, no, that is in union with God. Hey, book of John 10:34, please. Alright. It's not in union. Because let's see what the Jews, it says in union. Everybody can understand a union. A union is separate, right? Right? A union means two separate entities. If it's a union. But John 10:36, he said, that's what I said. No, that's not. Not 10:30, I'm sorry, not 30. 10:30. Jesus said, I and my Father are
one.
Let's keep going. Now, if it's a union, what's so big about him saying to you, my Father, one? Right? But if the Jews took a stone again to
stone
him. Well, if he didn't say he was God, why are you trying to stone him? Right? So let's keep going. Jesus asked them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. From which of these those works do you call me? The Jews asked him, said, for good works we stone thee. But for blasphemy, because thou being
man, he
thinketh himself God. So that's somebody said, that's not a union. He said, you just said you were God. Let the Bible speak. The Bible said the way of holiness and salvation is so plain. If we just go by the scriptures, not even a fool shall err therein. Alright? Alright, now let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter. Excuse me, folks. I was there. All right, Luke 24, let's go to verse 27. Now, this is Jesus again. This is when he goes on the road to Emmaus, and he comes to the two disciples that were walking. And he asked them, he said, why are you so sad? They said, have not you heard what has happened in Jerusalem? All right, so they continue the discourse. And then 27 says, and beginning at Moses, and all the prophets. Moses and who?
All
the prophets. Expounding he unto them in all the scriptures, the things. Well, who were Moses and the prophet in the New Testament?
Old Testament.
Old Testament. Right? So he's telling them all the way to the Old Testament, I was there. Right? And Yeah, before Abraham was?
Yeah.
Alright, so now, verse 24 said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the
Law
of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. He said, you are all concerning who? Me. Then, Lord, thank you for opening our understanding. You know, we're blessed when the Lord opened our understanding. Because they couldn't get it. So before the morning of the prayer, Lord, don't tell me what the other camp said. That's the end of the morning. I said, open my eyes so I can see. So many of them are bound in false worship because of what man has said. If you ask God to open your eyes, the Bible said, if you ask, you shall receive. Right? And then the scripture said, in the day that you seek after God with all your heart, you are, shall find. So a lot of these, I've been going to church, but what portion of your heart are you using to seek after God? You can't come to God halfway because God knows everything there is about us. Right? He said, I know, and in Psalm 139, he said, I know every word before you speak it and every thought before you think it. So he knows everything there is about us, and let him go there. Then open you their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus did it move Christ to. He said it was necessary that Christ suffer. Right? The anointed one had to suffer and to rise from the dead the
third day.
And that what? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached.
Amen.
Well, what was his name?
Jesus.
He said it was necessary. It had to be. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, and ye are witnesses. He's talking to his apostles. He said, listen, it has to be this way. So he said, well, Peter messed up on the day of Pentecost. Well, if you read the whole discourse, starting from the first chapter and chapter 2, especially chapter 2, it said there were all the apostles were there with them. When he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they realized that they had crucified Christ. Right? So if Peter was in error, somebody should have said, Peter, you are wrong. But nobody did, right? So Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Everyone knew how?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ for the what? He just repeated what Jesus said in Luke 24:7. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Amen. Do we all understand that? Alright. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God
shall
call. Somebody said that was just what it said. Well, if it says unto you, your children, and as many as the Lord our God shall
call.
In order for you to be saved, God has to what?
Call.
God has not stopped calling. Amen.
Amen.
So that's there. Now let's go to the golden lampstand, right, which is in the holy place. Remember, the whole layout of the tabernacle, everything in that tabernacle according to Jesus, as we will see. Amen?
Amen.
Continuing past the labor, after being baptized in Jesus' name, you pass through the outer veil into what was known as the holy place. The holy place was the first room in the tent of the tabernacle. The priest, after washing in the labor, was permitted to enter into this. But he couldn't get into the holy place until he was first cleansed. The problem with people in church today is a lot of people trying to get to God, but they have not yet been baptized. The only way we are cleansed is by the wash of the water, by the word.
Yes.
That's the only way you get cleansed. So a lot of people can't figure out why my life won't get together, get washed, and watch what God does. Amen? Which included three items: the golden lampstand, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. The lampstand could be found on the left side of the holy place and was hammered out of
pure
gold. The lampstand was what kind of gold?
Pure
gold. Right? So, seven lamps holding olive oil and wicks. Each branch looked like that of an olive tree containing buds, blossoms, and flowers. The center branch being most prominent. The priests were instructed to keep these lamps burning. They could never go out. The light was always burning. Amen. These lampstands were the only source of light in the holy place. So when you went into the holy place, if you didn't have a lampstand, you was in darkness. That's why Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "I am the light." He said, "If the darkness comprehended me, because when you get into that place, the light comes from Jesus, and Jesus is the light."
Yes.
Can we say praise the Lord? So the thing about the light, it didn't burn sometimes, but it had to burn continuous. Right? Because Jesus is the light. If you read Mark, John, Mark, read about, he said, "I am the light of men and the life of men." Amen. So he was the light. The lampstand was the only source of light in the holy place, shining light on the table of showbread and the altar of incense. If not for the lampstand in the holy place, the priest would have to dwell there in darkness. Right? This light allowed the priest to be in the holy place and fellowship with God. The light allowed the priest to be in the holy place and fellowship with God. Now let's go to Leviticus 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Now we're not going to get to all of this. If you all find, we're going to cut it short.
It's a type, it's a shout, it points to the church. So if we want to
That's the problem today. People in church say, I want to do what I want to do. Seven women are going to take over one man and we need our own. This is what killed the whole church. Because that's old fashioned. Yeah, I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. No, I ain't. But this is what killed the church. And I just want to laugh and say, you know, the old saying is, you know, God doesn't look at what you wear, He looks at your heart. He said, well, the problem with the seven women is they're going to eat their own bread.
Right?
So now the table is showbread in the holy place. This is still Yeah, you're okay. Couldn't get it right last week, can't get it right this week. Case. Rain the case. A case. All ready to go. Sitting on a table would be 12 loaves of bread stacked upon each other, representing the what? 12 tribes of Israel. These loaves would be placed on the table and would remain for the entire week until the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, the priest would enter into the holy place and eat the bread from the table while in the holy place. They would bake another 12 loaves that day and place them on the table to remain another 6 days until the
next Sabbath.
And that's why I believe it's in Malachi when you talk about the offer of polluted bread upon my altar. What they were doing is they weren't eating the bread, they just leaving it to a mildew and mold. Right? So God was angry. He said, wait a minute, you're disrespecting the altar, the showbread. You're leaving it there to turn to worms and swarm. Right? So he was upset because they disrespected the showbread. You can read that in Malachi on your own. Alright? So it says, the emphasis here is that only the priest could eat the bread. And it can only be eaten in the holy place because it was holy. Then in Revelation calls us say that we are what? Kings and priests. We are kings and priests unto God. That's what Revelation says. I believe it's 1:8 or 1:6 says we are kings and priests unto God. All right. This bread was in the holy place because it was holy. This bread, also called the bread of presence, as it remained in the presence of the Lord constantly. This table was a picture of God's willingness to fellowship and commune with men. It can be related to an invitation to share a meal and an extension of friendship. And remember, the scripture says in Revelation, Jesus said, I stand at the door and what?
Knock.
If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. This was the fellowship of God, page 15. This was fellowship of God and his presence. Jesus, later revealed, he is the what? Bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath why? Because I am. Everything in the tabernacle represents Jesus. He is the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down. Well, your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And he and the bread that I will give his flesh, which I will give for the bread, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper of the New Covenant at the Passover meal with his disciples as a type for sharing the table. That's why he told the disciples to make it exact according to the pattern that was shown thee in the map. Alright? The one and only Son of God will give all men access to fellowship and communion with God. Amen. That's good enough. I gotta stop there. Because I'm presuming on the graces God's given. Alright. Now, do we have any questions? Any questions? Everything from the beginning. All the way to the end, always points to Jesus. The whole, he tells them, he said, they wrote about me in the law. They wrote about me in the prophets. They wrote about me in Psalms. And Psalms 22, the calf, which is symbolic, which is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, is represented by a what? Cross. The calf, by the calf. It's represented by the cross. In Psalm 22, which is the messianic psalm, that symbol is used 40 times. Right? 40 times. When Jesus was led out into the wilderness, he's not there how many days? was up there for 20 days, 40 days. If God's word is so perfect and complete, if we allow God's word to speak, the biggest problem that we have in church today is people are prophesying, doing all kinds of stuff, and it doesn't support the word. The word doesn't support it. The Bible says, let everything be said by two or three witnesses. And in Isaiah, he said, the word of God is written a little there, like line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, so that they that read it may fall back and stumble. The word of God is plain and simple, but it's not enough. And so you have to study to show yourself approved. Now, Jesus, now in Luke 5:42 through 47, he tells them to both and quote about me. But then, pull up 5:39. This is what he said before he told them that Moses wrote about him. Right? And this is what is our responsibility. And a child of God, we can't just go by what people say. Right? Paul writes, we have to study to show ourselves what? Approved unto God. And work in the need not to be ashamed. If you have questions, we'll take time. I have to excuse myself.